Let's look together this afternoon at Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Once again, this is the third week or third message from Romans 12:12, and it's the third of three clauses in this verse. The verse reads, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." As we think about Romans 12, and not just this chapter, but what follows, but chapter 12 is a very unique chapter in some ways. What we are considering is inspired answers to this simple question: what does God want me to do as a Christian? What is God's will for me as His child? It is clearly addressed to saints, to believers, those who have experienced the mercies of God. This is what the mercies of God call for in way of response from us. And Romans 12:12, as you can see, is just right smack in the middle of a whole list of various Christian responsibilities. We have mentioned that verses 12 and 13 especially deal with circumstances and our response to circumstances. Beginning in verse 14, we see our response to people, individuals. This, verses 12 and 13, deal especially with circumstances that we encounter. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Or maybe to get the emphasis according to the order of words, in hope, rejoicing, in tribulation, patient, in prayer, continuing instant, or we might say persevering. We have seen just here in this single verse how that present tribulation or affliction does not keep us from rejoicing, because we have the hope concerning the future. And that's the only way that I can approach Romans 12:12. It's looking at the present in the context of the future. Rejoicing in hope. Hope is forward-looking. Patient in tribulation, that's looking around presently. And prayer is the context in which hope and patient endurance thrive. You can't help but see the connection here. If you're going to rejoice in hope, even in present tribulation that you are enduring, it's going to be in the context of a prayer life, communion with God. Prayer is the context in which every Christian virtue thrives. And so we simply want to consider prayer and persevering in prayer here by God's grace this afternoon. We must be faithful in prayer. We must be committed to the habit of prayer. Habits are not bad things. unless they're bad habits. Bad habits are bad. Good habits are good. And we ought to develop good habits. And not do things just mindlessly, but with our mind and heart engaged, have good, consistent habits. We are creatures of habit, whether we like it or not. We get into routines, and we need to make sure that these routines are right and God-honoring, and that we engage in them with our whole heart to the glory of God. But I do not hesitate to say we should have a habit of prayer. How else can you look at continuing instant in prayer? To the extent that we neglect prayer, we are weak spiritually. We are vulnerable to all kinds of soul trouble. To the extent that we neglect praying, we are not able to rejoice in hope or endure tribulation. Prayer is absolutely essential for spiritual health, for a godly frame of mind, for a holy walk, for an obedient walk with the Lord. So let's think about the words here, first of all, just simply. Prayer. In prayer, continuing instant. Several words are used in the original language for prayer in our New Testament. The term used here is a term that is always used with reference to God. You know, sometimes Paul will say, I beseech you, brethren. We saw that in verse 1. I pray you, brethren. The way that you pray to someone or plead with someone on earth is different than how you plead with God. And this word reflects that there's something peculiar about prayer in the Christian life. So this term is always used with reference to God. It simply speaks of the action of our heart toward Him in terms of communion with Him, and specifically communion with words. Prayer most generally involves our words of communication to God. There are sometimes, as Romans 8 tells us, when we don't know what to say or what to pray for, and we simply groan. But normally, prayer involves speech, words directed toward God. I emphasize this because I'm afraid that there is confusion. Very broadly and generally, in a kind of Christianized culture, people speak lightly about praying. And you can probably fill in the blanks yourself here, but frequently we hear these kinds of conversations. Someone will have a problem and they'll tell some friend about it, and the friend says, oh, well, I'll be praying about that. I'll pray for that. I'll pray with you about that. Well, only God knows how often those promises to pray are really fulfilled. But I'm afraid that sometimes, maybe many times, maybe most of the time, what that person ends up doing is when they are alone and without distraction, they think about that person and their need. Or maybe it's, let's say, the hurricane. And you talk to someone, you have a friend who lives down there in Florida, and you say, well, I'll be praying for you. And then maybe the next day you're thinking about the hurricane and how difficult it is, and this person is without electricity down there and so on, and your heart really goes out to them, and you think about them, and you remember happy times together, and you think about them. And then you get busy with other things, and you think you've prayed. And all you did was you thought about that person. Prayer is more than thinking about a person or a need. Prayer is communication directed to God. True prayer has a Godward focus. Communing with Him as a person who hears the words, whether they are outwardly verbalized or only uttered in the quietness of our heart, but they are words directed toward Him. And even in some instances, our groans directed toward Him when we hardly know what to utter. This is prayer. Let us not substitute anything in its place. If we really want to be honest with people, if we say, I'll be praying about that, then let us be praying about that. If all we're going to do is to think about them, then let's tell them, you'll be in my thoughts. Well, Christian people certainly can both think and pray. And so we can say, you'll be in my thoughts and prayers. But let's make sure that it is in the latter category if we commit ourselves to that. Now, the only other term here is continuing instant. This is a single word, of course, in the original language that is a compound word. It means to persevere. Our word persevere captures as well as any word in English what this word in the original language is talking about. It's the same term translated back in Acts chapter 2, continued steadfastly, when it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and so on. Right here in Romans 13 and verse 6, the same term is translated attending continually. Do you see it there? They are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Devoting themselves, persevering in this calling or this activity. And so this helps us to flesh out the significance of our text here. In prayer, constantly attending to it. Praying it truly without ceasing. Keeping up prayer. Never being far from prayer. Maintaining a habit of prayer. Now we might think that praying should be easy and effortless, and as natural as a baby crying for its mother. And we do have verses that speak of our hearts crying, Abba, Father. But the reality is, prayer normally requires effort, priority, disciplining of ourselves, making time for it, putting away distractions from it, overcoming resistance to it from within and from without. We must be diligent about it. Prayer doesn't happen, maybe very rarely does it happen by accident. It requires deliberate effort. And we must be faithfully committed then to prayer. The psalmist says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. That's something of an Old Testament commentary on our text here. Continuing instant in prayer. Well, how often should we pray? Well, there in the book of Psalms is at least an idea, a suggestion, an example. Evening, morning, and noon. That was the practice of the prophet Daniel, you recall, in the book of Daniel. 3 times a day. On the other hand, it should not be mechanical, to where maybe we have an alarm set and we say, okay, this is my prayer time, and we just make an empty ritual out of it. Our Lord clearly spoke against vain repetitions in the Sermon on the Mount. He said that's what the heathen do. He said, don't be like them. The Buddhists are famous for their what they call prayer wheels. And they think praying is nothing more than spinning a cylinder on a stick. And that's praying a continuing instant in prayer. No, our heart must be engaged. It is heart work. Psalm 62 calls it pouring out of the heart before the Lord. We have the example of Jacob in Genesis 32 who is wrestling. It's not a game. It's not something simple and easy. It's effort. It's wrestling. And yet it should come natural to a renewed heart. Is there any duty more basic in the Christian life than this? There are a lot of other things that we ought to do, but nothing more needful, important, and basic than to pray. And as we've mentioned with some previous duties here in Romans chapter 12, we might think, now do we really need to be told? We already know. Do we really need to be told, continuing instant in prayer? Well, my heart and conscience says yes. We need to be told. We need every reminder that's here, obviously, or the Lord wouldn't have given it to us. We need to be told to pray. We need to be reminded to pray. There's a sense in which no Christian duty is ever taken for granted. And we need to be told. It's too easy for us to neglect even this most basic duty and privilege. And so, yes, God knows we need to be told. Now, let me give you some other scriptures to the same effect here that are really in one way or another parallels to what we have in Romans 12:12. We see this example in Acts chapter 1 in the upper room with the ones gathered there after the ascension of Christ. It says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." And in this instance and in several more that I'm going to read here, it's exactly the same terms used. And that's interesting and significant. It's the word prayer, same word here in Acts 1:14 as in Romans 12:12, and even the word continuing instant here is translated simply by the word continued. The very thing that is required of us here in Romans 12:12, we see an example of in Acts 1:14 as well as Acts 2:42, after there were 3,000 souls saved and baptized and added to the church in verse 41, they continued steadfastly. They persevered. They continued instant in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. In Acts chapter 6, we see the apostles needed to streamline their workload so that other men were given the task of serving the widows, waiting on their needs, serving the tables, as it says, so that the apostles might give ourselves, they say, continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This was the burden and the desire of these apostles. It was certainly the need of the early church there in Jerusalem that these men be free from other labors that others could do so that they might especially devote themselves to prayer continually and to the ministry of the word. Prayer is mentioned even before the ministry of the word. God help us. That's the right order. Our ministry of the word is only useful and fruitful in the context of prayer. We have another example in the book of Acts, and that is when Peter is imprisoned by Herod the king. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Looking at other epistles, we see several similar passages as our text. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Did the Ephesians really need to be told? Now, be sure you pray. They needed to be told, just like we do. Paul says something similar to the Philippians. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. instead of being anxious and fearful and worrying, he says, pray, pray. And the peace of God will keep you from that anxiety and fear. Prayer is necessary to maintain spiritual sanity. In Colossians chapter 4, we read, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. A little later, towards the end of that chapter and that letter, here's a good example of this man, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. There's a man with a pastor's heart, praying, laboring fervently for those under his charge. Again, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, these familiar words, pray without ceasing. And finally, the words of Peter by inspiration. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And the idea of watching with regard to prayer is to be sober and circumspect, careful to pray, careful with regard to prayer, careful concerning our own heart and our relationship to God, being circumspect as we pray. Now, having at least done a little work on the language here and seen some parallel passages, let me make some further observations. The first thing I would note from this passage is that prayer is the duty and privilege of all believers. The context here of Romans 12 shows us this. This is not an instruction given for ministers only or some subgroup within the church only or those that may have a special gift for prayer that not everybody has in the same way. Yes, some may be better at praying than others, and some may have more opportunity and hours to devote to it than others. But it's given here as a sweeping command, or has the effect of a command, for everyone, all the believers there in Rome. We all must develop a habit of prayer. Let us not say, well, this dear brother or sister prays and prays a lot, and so you know he or she prays for me and makes up for my lack. No. That's too much like the Buddhist prayer wheel, isn't it? We all need the practice and the discipline of prayer. Probably no Christian has ever been fully satisfied with his prayer life. None I've ever known, at least, have spoken in that way. We read of Martin Luther devoting 4 hours a day to prayer. I expect if you talked to him, he would say, I need to pray more. We all, no matter how far we are in this grace of prayer, we always sense a need to grow more and develop more and pray better and pray with more fervency and so on. And so it's really a lifelong quest to continue instant in prayer. But it is the duty and privilege of every believer. Furthermore, prayer is the best index of our spiritual health. Nothing tells more about us and where we are in relation to God and where we are spiritually than our prayers, our prayer life. Prayer is truly our lifeline to heaven. Through Christ our mediator, prayer is so vital. There's something of both cause and effect with regard to prayer and our spiritual health. A healthy soul will pray. A praying soul will be healthy, spiritually healthy. Prayer keeps us close to God and far from sin. Prayer makes us strong to resist temptation and to be ready for God's use at any time. Some that I've read after use this phrase, to be prayed up, to keep prayed up. It's only when we're prayed up that we're really ready for God to use us. Our prayer life tells, in a way, everything that there is to tell about us. I think it was McShane that said, no man is greater than his prayer life. Another observation is this. We need prayer on a regular basis. That's continuing instant in prayer and without ceasing. We need to pray every day. We need to pray alone with God. We need to pray as families. We need to pray as a church. Church prayer meetings are so important to the life and usefulness and vitality of a church. There's much biblical example for that. Many years ago, I had someone challenge the whole concept of prayer meetings and so on, and I just was so taken back. I didn't know what to say. I thought, what Bible have you been reading? You can't read the book of Acts and the epistles without seeing that corporate prayer was a very significant, important part of their church life. Another observation. Prayer not only benefits those for whom we pray as God answers the petitions that we raise in behalf of others, but prayer also benefits our own soul. It benefits the soul of the one who is praying. Because it's not always just a matter of what specifically we're praying for, even though we should pray specifically. But it's the whole aspect of holding communion with God, keeping close to Him. Sort of like a child with a father. It isn't always so much what is the subject of conversation as that there is conversation. And yes, God is concerned about what we're praying about, what needs are at hand, and so on. But beyond all that, it's just keeping close to Him, keeping in communion with Him, This is vital to our soul. Let us not underestimate what a privilege it is to have an audience with the King of Glory, who is also our Heavenly Father. Now, we could enlarge on this, but let me just mention this very briefly in passing. Prayer is a broad term, and there's various components and parts to prayer. In the model prayer, our Lord gives us a variety of petitions that begin with worship and address spiritual matters, temporal matters, corporate matters, individual matters. There's a helpful guide there as far as how to pray. It is indeed the model prayer. The book of Psalms is a book of prayers in most instances. Prayers of praise, prayers of petition. We can open most any psalm and use it as substance for prayer. We've looked fairly recently at the New Testament epistles, one by one, to see what things Paul was praying for with regard to those that he wrote letters to. Outside of inspiration, there are many good books on prayer. One by Isaac Watts gives a whole lengthy outline of all different components of prayer. Others have kind of simplified that to the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. And you can use any one or all of these and a combination of these as helps and guide in praying. Let me hasten on here. We should recognize enemies to prayer. I would mention first theological fatalism. This is the peculiar tendency and temptation of the Calvinist. Well, God has foreordained all that comes to pass, and so whether I pray or not, it's going to come to pass. That is not the biblical understanding. The biblical understanding is this: God has ordained all that comes to pass, and He has ordained that I pray and make my request known unto Him. We'll never be able to fully understand or reconcile in our minds the tension there between God's predetermining of all things and His answering of the prayers of His people. But we don't have to reconcile that mystery. We must simply be obedient, believe all that the Scripture says, which includes continuing instant in prayer. God has determined that mercies come as answer to prayers. God has predetermined that you shall pray. And so, He's predetermined that the blessings He gives will come as answers to prayer. So there's every incentive here to pray and not to be wrapped up in a straitjacket theologically that hinders us from prayer. Another enemy to prayer is spiritual laziness. Prayer is work. It is labor. On the other hand, another enemy to prayer is simply being over busy, taking on too much. This is not the same as being spiritually lazy. This is a matter of giving priority and putting other things aside. Is this not the challenge of our generation and our century and maybe the American mindset altogether, that we are so occupied and busy with many good things that we neglect even better things? God help us to recognize that which keeps us from praying. And the last enemy I would mention here is simply not being conscious of our need. When a real need arises, we pray. When we don't pray, is it because we're not really conscious of any particular need? The reality is we are in need continually. We just don't always recognize it. And we need a spiritually sensitive disposition so that we might be more conscious of our need continually, so that we will truly continue instant in prayer. Well, I've taken much longer than I expected here today, but we're almost done. What is the alternative? If we don't continue instant in prayer, what happens? Well, as I said earlier, we're not rejoicing in hope like we should. We're not patient in tribulation like we should be. To use another word that the Lord himself used back in the Gospel of Luke, it is this: if we don't pray, we'll faint. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Those are the options. Simply put, we'll either pray or we'll faint. And the word faint means, of course, to grow weak and to fail, to give up, to give in, to lose heart. If you want to avoid spiritual disaster, then pray. And he goes and then and gives the parable of the widow and her request to the judge. There's another passage that I would also remind you of as we close here, and that is that God does answer prayer. And the Lord in Luke 11 gives the parable of the man that goes to his friend at midnight and asks for bread and so on, and he just won't take no for an answer. The man gives him the bread that he asks for. And Jesus presents this to us as an example and an incentive to pray always. Do we really believe that God hears and answers prayer? If we do, then let us continue instant in prayer. Let us give ourselves to prayer. Let us be praying souls, praying families, a praying church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to do more than talk about prayer. Help us to continue steadfastly and to persevere in it. Help us to grow in our prayer life. Help us to consider what a privilege and delight it is. Teach us as we walk through this life that passes so swiftly. Teach us, Lord, to pray. help us to combat weakness, fear, unbelief, and all other foes of our souls with this great weapon of prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.